Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When we talk on this program about crime, violence, and public safety, we often talk about what's happening in the largest jurisdictions, the District of Columbia, Prince George's, Montgomery, and Fairfax County, as well as others. But what's happening in the smaller jurisdictions is critical to the bigger picture. Tonight, we discuss public safety in Alexandria, Virginia. And my guest is Police Chief Don Hayes. If you have any questions or comments for the chief, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Chief, thank you so much for coming in. It's a pleasure to meet you.
It's my pleasure, Harold. Thank you.
Let's first kind of talk about the situation in Alexandria. As I said, we've seen this huge wave of crime in the bordering jurisdictions. And suffice it to say that from 2021 to 2022, you've seen an increase in gun crimes in Alexandria, but Alexandria does not really see the kinds of crime and violence increases that the outside jurisdictions have. To what do you attribute that?
Well, I would say that a lot of that's contributed to the community itself. We have a very active community. And we work with them. It's the police presence in those communities, the relationships we have, the partnerships we have. They're very actively involved in all that goes on in the city of Alexandria. Alexandria is a very tight-knit community. It's like a small urban city, but it's like everybody knows everybody. It's and they communicate a lot. There's a lot of liaison programs going on where one community would have something happening, they'll let another community go on. So I think the biggest part of it is community policing, but it's also community communications. People are talking about what happens, and when things happen, we respond.
Suffice it to say that your borders with the other jurisdictions are not, they are porous. I mean, there's, you know, there's no wall, there's no fence, and sometimes there is, no pun intended, there can be a bleeding over from situations happening in D.C., in Arlington, and Fairfax. What is your biggest issue right now regarding public safety that you're trying to get a handle on?
I would have to say it would be youth violence, young men carrying guns and firing them, they're crossing over boundaries, like you're saying. They will do something in Alexandria, they'll go on to Fairfax, they'll go to Prince William County, and they'll just keep doing these until they get caught. So our biggest concern, community-wise in Alexandria, and I would say regional-wide, is youth violence.
Mm-hmm. With those things happening, even though you're not having the kinds of issues that you may see in the largest jurisdictions, D.C. and Fairfax, do you have a plan to address the potential growth in these kinds of violent crimes?
Yes, we're, again, working together in partnership with the surrounding jurisdictions. We've already met with the chief of police in Arlington County, the chief of police in Fairfax, and we are talking about how we're going to continue to keep the lines of communications open because, again, like I say, there is no gate there that's going to stop them from going from Alexandria to Arlington to Fairfax. And so we're our detectives are working together. We have a task force that actually works together, the federal task force that kind of keeps things going where we can communicate with each other to let people know what's happening in our area. And so we're opening the lines of communication with each other to make sure that when something happens in Alexandria, Arlington knows, Fairfax knows. Something happens in Fairfax, Alexandria knows, Arlington knows. And so we're keeping those lines of communication open because we're finding out that we're dealing with the same people in each other's jurisdiction.
Is that a newer strategy?
Well, it's not actually a newer strategy. We've always had mutual agreements where we work together. Again, we actually meet once a month down at our regional academy, and all the chiefs do, and we talk about things that are happening in the neighborhood. So we've always had this line of communications open. We're just doing it a little bit more frequently now. And we also have COG, you know, the Council of Government.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and they also bring all of the chiefs together in the area to kind of address issues that are happening in our particular area.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I am talking to Alexandria, Virginia Police Chief Don Hayes about public safety, about crime, about violence in Alexandria. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Of course, as always, we're answering your questions all the way up until right before 8 p.m. So lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Correct me if I'm wrong. One of the things that, you know, as a native of this area, and I have seen how things have changed, how that entire area, Alexandria, Arlington, the close-in Fairfax County area has grown and changed. You have a huge, multi-diverse immigrant population. Do you think that has an impact on how public safety works in Alexandria? Is it, I mean, first of all, how many languages do your officers speak? They've got to have at least three or four languages.
Well, we have translators that actually ride around with our officers. They're volunteers, and they will translate different languages for us. But we also have the language bank where we can call in when we have a particular situation where we don't understand the language, and that person will translate for us over the telephone.
A language bank? How does that work?
Well, basically, the officer will go in to call for service, and they'll get there, and they can actually dial up, and the person on the other end of the phone will, again, have all these different languages, and that person would give the victim the phone. They would talk to the person to kind of tell them what happened, and then the officer would be able to talk to the person on the phone to find out exactly what has transpired.
Mm-hmm.
But our best tool that we have is, again, the on-site translators that actually ride around in the cruisers with the officers. They get to the scene. They can translate the language right there, and it's more active. Because, you know, sometimes facial expressions can tell a lot.
I would imagine so. What impact does the growing immigrant population have, in your opinion, on public safety and crime? Does it make things better, worse? Does it not have any impact at all? What have you noticed?
I would say it really doesn't have that much of an impact on, quote unquote, the crime that's happening, but sometimes it has an impact on the crime that's happening to them, because a lot of times they won't report the crimes. And so depending on where they come from, they might look at us as not being there to serve them.
Hmm.
And so we have to get across to them that, no, we are here to serve everyone. If a crime has happened to you, we want them to report it so that we can, again, assist them in that situation and hopefully arrest the perpetrator and bring them to justice.
How do you do that when, again, these aren't just language barriers, but these are also cultural barriers?
Correct. And that's why we are really big on community policing, where we are not set apart from the community, but we are a part of the community. And so we have officers who actually live in the communities. We have officers that are assigned to the specific communities, and they are there specifically just to formulate relationships with the residents of that particular area, so that when something happens, they don't look at us as being, quote unquote, the outsider. They look at us as being a part of their neighborhood. They can trust us. And with that trust, they will begin to talk to us. And when they talk to us, we can begin to find out what happens and then solve those particular issues.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I am talking to Alexandria, Virginia Police Chief Don Hayes about public safety, about crime. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Omar, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, this is to Mr. Hayes. I'm a resident of Alexandria and have called twice about a situation, and I have not gotten any response regarding this situation. I even called this morning, and I spoke with the secretary to schedule an appointment with you, and I have not got any response. Hello?
We're listening, Omar. Go right ahead. So what is your issue? I'm sure the chief is interested in hearing.
Yeah, the issue, there is a drone that is at my residence that I called several times about, a drone, a surveillance drone. You know, and I've been trying to find out why I'm under surveillance from the city of Alexandria. I'm not a criminal, never been convicted of any crime, but that is a drone that is constantly at my residence. It comes in from like 8 when it gets dark and you leave at 10:30. And I have called the police department twice, and they dispatched officers. I have the date and I have video and all of everything. And I even called twice to your office to try to schedule a meeting with you in person to find out why I'm under surveillance. I have not gotten any response. And I called this morning and I spoke with the secretary and I left a message and she took a note from me. And she have not, no one has responded to me.
Your thoughts about this, Chief? And I have a question about that as well.
Sure. Again, this is my first time hearing about this. Again, and I've been on vacation all this week, so that's probably why you haven't heard from me personally. But we have someone on the side. If you would be able to give us your information, we will
Absolutely.
Talk to you offline, and we'll make
Absolutely.
Sure we get in touch with you by, again, the close of business tomorrow.
Omar, stay on the line. The producer will get your information, and we'll pass it on to the chief's staff. So thank you so much for that. Interesting that this drone issue has come up. This is my first question: is does your department use drones?
No, not at this time. But we're looking into that. Mm-hmm. It's a very complicated matter where you have to get pilot's license and all of that. You also have to make sure that you're not flying in specific airspaces within the city because it's so close to. All the government buildings and the airport and all of that. But we're looking into using drones because they are very helpful in helping us to do the job that we're doing. We had a particular incident where we had a barricade situation where we needed to get into the apartment to kind of find out where that person was located. And we have a mutual aid with Fairfax County, and they were able to come over and to assist us with their drone. And because of their drone being able to go inside to find out exactly what was going on, we were able to find out that the person inside had fallen asleep, and they were able to make entry into the building without anybody getting hurt and resolve the situation peacefully.
That drone issue is complex because I know that the jurisdictions across the nation are trying to figure out how best to use them, as well as how best to police them when you're talking about private citizens who use them, and particularly in ways that are improper. And I think that Omar's situation is kind of, it's one of those things where if it's not your police department or any police department, it could be a private citizen. And certainly anyone can see how that kind of thing would be, unnerving, in your home.
Well, one of the things that we do as we are moving forward to look at procuring drones to use them in our police department is that we always make sure that we have community meetings. And we talk to the community before we put policy down to kind of find out what are the do's and don'ts that, we want to be able to do before we put this out there. We get a consensus because, again, that's what community policing is all about, getting community's input as to how we're going to use this tool, this technology to assist us and preventing crime and solving crime from happening. One of the best things that I can kind of get people to understand about with drones is that we have a lot of situations where we get calls for service where children are missing or adults because of mental health crisis. They've wandered off. And we send the officers out there, and we're walking around, and we're covering a lot of territory trying to find this missing person. If you have a drone, you can put that drone up there. It can cover a lot more territory a lot faster, and we can be able to hopefully find the people much faster than we can, but just by walking around. So, again, There are several reasons why we want to get the drones, but before we actually get them and put them out, again, we always make sure that the community know what we're doing and why we're doing it, and we get their input.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Alexandria, Virginia Police Chief Don Hayes. Chelsea calling from Virginia. You're next. Please do not hang up. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next. With the original Quiet Storm, this conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few moments. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we discuss public safety in Alexandria, Virginia. My guest is Police Chief Don Hayes. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let's go to Chelsea, calling from Virginia. Chelsea, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey there. I just want to give a comment. So, hey, you guys, I was born and raised in Alexandria, Virginia, you know, born in the 70s, raised there in the 80s. And one thing I can say, the difference. Now, back then, there were tons of programs, after school programs that were free so that the children could go to. They could get nice, good guidance from the counselors that were there. And so it's like as soon as the budget cuts happened and all of that stopped, of course the children are going to create crime and do things that they have no business doing because those particular programs have been stripped away. You know what I mean? And so that's just my comment. It's unfortunate that my beloved city has really flipped upside down in all these years. But I see why, because it's like back then we were cool. We were chilling. We could go to the pools for free. Like they had so many things for us to do. Nowadays, they don't. Or if they do, it's so expensive that these parents just don't have the money to have their children participate in these after school and summer programs.
Yeah. Chelsea, thank you so much for your comment, Chief.
Yeah, I you know what, Chelsea, I actually agree with you. Again, I was young once before, too, and there were programs that we had, and we would go to them every summer. We looked forward to it in the summertime. We knew that we had something to do.
Absolutely.
And so one of the things that we're doing is that we're partnering with companies like CYEP. It's an organization that has youth programs, and we're working with them to find things for our youth to do. We have a youth camp that we have in the city of Alexandria. We take children that live in the city of Alexandria down to a camp that we have in Kilmonic, Virginia, for a whole week, so to get them out of the neighborhood and so they get to interact with the police officers down there. We're working with the rec departments to find out how we can get programs inside there. We have this game coming up where we're going to have the police officers play a group of the young kids that live in one of the neighborhoods in Alexandria. And so we're looking at doing things like that, but the police department is not equipped to do all of this by themselves because we just don't have the staffing to do it. And that's why we have to partner with other organizations and other people who are willing to come in and to assist us in doing that. And so if you have any ideas of anybody who would like to partner with us, if you would give us a call, we'd love to have you give us that information so we can contact them so we can keep these things going during the summertime and then even after the summer for some after-school programs.
Chelsea, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate your time. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Pablo, calling from Alexandria. Thanks for calling, Pablo. What's on your mind? Hi.
Hey, thanks for being here. Yeah, I just had a couple of questions. I think it's great you're on the phone and able to take some calls. I heard you talk about the translation services and interpreting that that you do with interpreters that ride in the squad car or assist police. Just kind of wanted to understand more about that. I have a interpreting background online and in person and also a counseling and crisis management background. So wanted to hear more about kind of how someone can get involved in that or in those kinds of positions helping police.
Hey, that would be great. I'm glad you called. Basically, what you would do is you would contact our volunteer office. I don't have that number right in hand with me right now, but I can helpfully get that to you. But you contact our volunteer office. We get you signed up. Again, there's a screening process you go through. Yeah, and what happens is you tell us when you're available, and the officer will pick you up, or you can come to the station, and you can get in the cruiser with them. You pick the time, the dates. You ride around with us. you help us out with the translations, and it really helps us with our community policing piece where people, you get to know us too, and so you begin to be one of our best part of advertising about you get to know the officers firsthand, and you can tell them the kind of work we do.
What languages do you speak, Pablo?
Spanish.
Spanish.
Excellent.
So primarily Spanish and yeah. English, and vice versa, yeah.
Okay. You said you had another question?
Yeah. How does your department, how do the Alexander Police partner with mental health counselors or just counseling for either victims or perpetrators in the law enforcement system?
Well, I'm glad you asked it because that's one of our number one challenges today is the mental health crisis. But we actually have a program called ACORP where we have a mental health clinician that rides around with our police officers. And they respond to the calls for service, and they are able to assist them in their crisis without having to be sometimes transfer them to the hospital or any of those types of things. And so that program that we have now, it's working, but we need more. And so we're trying to see how we can expand that. But it's a great program, and it's already paid dividends for some of the patients that we deal with on a daily basis.
Okay. Pablo, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to the police chief of Alexandria, Police Chief Don Hayes. If you have a comment or question, give us a call. So, you know, Chief, one of the things that happened last week, a horrific thing, was a toddler fell from the window of a high-rise.
Yes.
and died. Do you have an update on that investigation?
Well, I don't have an update because I've been on vacation this
week. That's
true. I have not been in the office. But I can tell you this much, that we don't believe that there was anything it wasn't like a type of malice situation, anything like that.
You don't believe there was a crime?
Exactly. We believe that that it was probably accidental. But again, the investigation will prove all of that. Again, my heart goes out to that family. You know, I couldn't imagine being the parent of that child and not knowing I'm not going to see them again.
Yeah. This may not necessarily be your wheelhouse. This may be more of a municipal question, but this isn't the first time that something like that has happened. Mm-hmm. In whether it's Alexandria or anywhere in that general vicinity where there are plenty of high-rises out there and lots of families out
yes.
there, young families even. What do you believe is the answer? Do you believe that this is does the city need to pass an ordinance to regarding building codes, or you know, how do you handle that? I mean, I remember this happened a couple of years ago and it was horrific, and then for us to hear that this happened yet again, as you said, a terrible, terrible thing. We certainly don't need to see anything like this happening again.
No, I agree. And I believe ordinances have already been passed. We just have to be able to have the personnel available to make sure these ordinances are being kept. There has to be certain screens in the high-rise buildings. Certain windows shouldn't be able to open, you know, when at a certain height. There's all these codes and stuff are already, again, like I said, it's not my will, but I know for a fact all these codes are already in place. We just have to have people who the staffing to go around to all these high rises to make sure they're in compliance with these building codes, and we also need to realize too that as parents, again, I'm a parent, as parents, that we also need to make sure that we're doing our jobs too.
How many police officers are on the force in Alexandria?
322.
322 officers.
Correct.
And on the face of it, that sounds like a lot for a small jurisdiction like that. Are you at capacity? Can you use more?
Well, we're in the process of doing a staffing study. I believe that we can use more, but I have to have the data to prove that. And so with this staffing study, we're going to be able to look at our entire department, and that includes everybody who works in the police department, not just the sworn staff, because we have professional staff that do a lot as far as analytics and all of that has to be done also for us to do our job properly. And then we have to look at the amount of density that we now have in the city of Alexandria, how many people that we have now, the amount of growth that has gone through that city without us looking at our staffing to make sure that we're able to handle the calls for service. For instance, we have the Virginia Tech University coming right down on Route 1 in the Potomac Yards. You know, we have to see how that's going to impact the calls for service. We have a brand new hospital they're building at Landmark Shopping Center. You know, so all these things are going into place. We have to begin to look at how we are going to be able to respond to the call for service with the amount of development that's happening in the city of Alexandria.
So with that said, how do you compete with the District of Columbia and Fairfax County, for example, and even, you know, Arlington County for sworn personnel? Everybody is looking for cops, right?
That's right. Yes.
So, how do you compete?
Well, I would hope that we would get to a point where we're no longer competing and we realize that we have to begin to, instead of compete, we have to cooperate with each other. Because if I'm up the staff and say another jurisdiction comes over and they poach, and they lure officers to come to their department, it doesn't benefit us as a whole in the Northern Virginia area, because again, we still have that hole there. What we have to begin to do is make sure that we're all looking for the best qualified people, because we have a regional academy. We all go to the same academy. We're working together in that vein. We got to begin to work together cooperatively with our staffing too, and realize that by me trying to make it more enticing for Arlington County officers to come to Alexandria is not going to benefit us as a whole. Because, again, public safety is public safety. I have a mutual aid agreement with them, whereas if they have a situation they need help, we're going to send our officers over there. Same thing with me. If I need help, they're going to send their officers over here. Why don't we get to a point where, again, from a city manager, a county manager standpoint, where we look at public safety as a whole and make sure that our salaries are competitive for everybody, make sure we have a salary that people can actually live on, that we can actually live in the areas where we work in, and begin to try to look out for what's best for the officers that are working there, as opposed to having them go from one jurisdiction to another for a few thousand more dollars, you know. So it's got to be more than the money. It's got to be a quality of life. It's got to be where the person feel like they're making a difference in the community they're living in and they're working in, and they want to stay at the department they're in, because everybody's looking for that same person. You're right. And it's getting harder and harder, because a lot of people that would normally look to be a police officer are not looking to be police officers anymore.
I want to talk about that quality of life. One of the things that we have seen in not just Alexandria, but in the near surrounding area. So Amazon just opened up the new headquarters just weeks ago. That's not Alexandria, that's Arlington. Boeing is moving its headquarters right across the street from the Pentagon. They're bringing, pun intended, airplane fulls of people
that's right.
to that Northern Virginia area. And a great many of those people are looking to settle in your jurisdiction, in Alexandria. What impact do you believe that will have on policing there?
Well, again, it goes back to the staffing, because when they move into the city of Alexandria, that's another person who's going to require services. And so they're going to be asking to for our officer to respond for their situations that they have.
Chief, go ahead and sure. Finish your point real quick.
Sure. And so as more people move into the city, we need more people to answer those calls for service. So that's what we have to do.
But like you said, when you have the Boeings and the Amazons and they're coming in, and you have not just individuals, but you do have families and the like, coming in, is that part of the argument, part of that analysis that you spoke about earlier in trying to figure out, do you need not only more officers, but how they are going to police?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Because, again, when you have that influx of people coming in and they go into a particular neighborhood, we have brand new neighborhoods in the city of Alexandria. I mean, I remember when Potomac Yards was nothing more but a railroad crossing. Mm-hmm. There's just railroad tracks, and now there are townhouses there. There's a shopping center there. You know, there's a subway. There's another subway that just came in there. Okay, now when you have all of these people coming in, they're going to want services. Not just from the police department, but from the fire department, you know, sheriff. All of these entities have to increase their staffing to handle the capacity that's coming into the city of Alexandria. And again, I believe that this study is going to show that we are in need of some assistance in making sure that we can adequately and effectively respond to the calls for service and give the kind of service that the residents of Alexandria are used to.
Talk to me about which areas in Alexandria are giving you the biggest concerns. I know from a news person's perspective, we've seen those fights after school lets out at Alexandria City High School. You know, there was a student, a senior, who was murdered last year. Mm-hmm. Another really terrible, terrible story. And that kind of goes back to the issue that you mentioned earlier about young people and not only gun violence, but just violence. So I'm sure that's one of your areas of concern. Talk to me about that and any other areas of concern where you're really kind of really giving some hard thought to.
Sure. The school area is definitely an area of concern, but we have been working with the schools, the superintendent, and we are putting together a what I call a plan or a strategy to ensure the safety of those students, the teachers, and everybody who goes into the schools. And when they leave the schools again and they come over to what is known as the Bradley Shopping Center.
Right, exactly.
We have officers there now to make sure that, again, we can mitigate a lot of those incidents from happening just by our presence being there. But also we have members from the school now who are walking down with us, taking the walk through the parking lots, identifying students. And there's something about the fact that these students know that somebody's there who knows who they are that will hopefully prevent them from doing something that they would normally do if we didn't know who they were.
Yeah, there were no, at least that I know of, there were no reports of end of the school year fracases there.
That's correct.
This year. So I'm assuming, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that part of the strategy that you employed, you know, particularly after the murder of that young student last year?
Yeah, that's why, again, doing these last days of school, because, again, Harold, things haven't changed. You know, last day of school is the day somebody's going to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always been the way it has been. And so we made sure that we had the staffing in that particular area. We had surveillance cameras up there. We had, again, some of the school staff, teachers walking down in the parking lot area. Even, again, I believe the superintendent even took a walk down there. We even had the assistant city manager out walking down in the Bradley Shopping Center area. And so we made a conscious effort to make sure that we were going to get out of this school year without having anything like that happen, like happened the previous year.
What other areas? I know there, having been there, Old Town is unique in every possible way. Are there any particular, you know, public safety challenges down there that you have to deal with that are different from anywhere else in the city?
Well, Old Town has its own challenges, and it's because of the amount of people that are there doing any given day. Like, for instance, this coming Saturday, we're going to have the city birthday, and we're going to have thousands and thousands of people down there on the waterfront, you know. And in today's society, where there are crowds like that, we have to be vigilant. We have to make sure that we're making and taking every precaution that we can to make sure that we can still celebrate those types of events safely. And so we're going to have the, you know, our staffing is going to be up. We're going to be out there. We have our intelligence to give us any indication that something, somebody might be planning something. You know, we're looking on the dark web. We're looking at everything. We're taking every conceivable precaution to make sure that we always have safe events in the city of Alexandria. You can go to Alexandria on a Saturday evening in Old Town. And again, there are so many people down there, you can't even walk.
I mean, right. You know, yeah. Very crowded.
And so we're getting used to that. And so we have strategies in place to make sure that these events go off without a hitch. But you can never let your guard down. We have to always be mindful that anything can happen at any time and anywhere.
Do you have the same kinds of issues with retail crime that Fairfax County's Chief Kevin Davis has spoken about and that D.C. Mayor Bowser has spoken about? Are you still having any of those kinds of retail challenges in Alexandria?
Yeah, we have a lot of shoplifting that goes on in the retail stores. We've had a few of the smash and grabs. You know, we've had some people trying to go in and get the ATM machines. Yeah, we're seeing the same type of crime. I mean, the Northern Virginia, well, I say the DMV area is right. Kind of unique because they cross borders like we change our shoes. And so they can be in D.C. one minute, they can be in Arlington, they can be in Alexandria, and they can hit all these spots on the same evening because we get the video of it, and you'll see sometimes it's the same perpetrator doing the same crime, and they've gone through at least four or five jurisdictions.
Does, at the risk of criticizing your colleagues outside, and I don't want you to do that, but does Alexandria have a secret sauce that the other jurisdictions could try to emulate?
I would say no. I think what's unique about Alexandria is the size and how we are bordered. And
explain that if you can.
Well, basically, again, we're only 15 square miles, you know. When you talk about Arlington County, you're talking about a huge jurisdiction you got to cover. Fairfax County, even larger than that. Prince William County, you know. And so they're just so large, and so again, you get to a point where you have to understand the capacity. We are condensed, but we're geographically we're small enough where we can kind of, as best we can, keep things under control, you know. And we do what we call hotspot policing, and I'm sure they do the same thing. But there's areas are just so much larger. And what hotspot policing is basically we know that there are certain things that happen in certain areas, and so sometimes that's where we allocate our resources. Mm-hmm. And that's been known to work for us, and so we're going to stick with that. And so we are very responsive when we hear an issue from someone in the community. We try to address it right away before it gets worse.
D.C., as we know, Fairfax County had at least 12 fires regarding, and some of them may have been fireworks related, had that issue in Montgomery County, and of course the horrific mass shootings that we've seen, Philadelphia, Salisbury, Baltimore,
yeah.
and the like. What was the holiday weekend like for Alexandria?
Well, we had one shooting that we are investigating. But other than that, again, I didn't see many fireworks going off. I've heard some of them.
Yeah,
but again, we border Fairfax and all, and so it could have been in their jurisdictions too. But, I mean, from upwards up to like 2 o'clock in the morning, I still heard fireworks going off in different areas. But crime-wise, again, I think you know we did okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were bracing ourselves for the next situation, and hoping that it never happens.
Alexandria has a median income of $105,000. That's a lot of money. It has It's a wealthy city. It does have its pockets of working class. It does have its poverty as well. But to put it blankly, a lot of people in Alexandria make a lot of money. What impact do you believe that has on keeping some crime levels down?
I think that sometimes that could work to a disadvantage because people will know about that and they will want to come over and commit the crimes because they might think that because they make the money, you know, the cars are better, the jewelry will be better. But I also think that, again, what we have in Alexandria is an awareness of things that are happening, and people are not afraid to call us for anything. And I think that since they do that, if they see anything out of the ordinary, they see any suspicious person, they call us and we respond to those particular areas. So I think that the wealth could go both ways, but I think it's more of the awareness of the residents, of the businesses, of the visitors that come to Alexandria, that they know if they call us, we're going to show up, and we want them to call us.
You've been in this position for what, 2 years?
2 years.
My father always said you're never too old to learn something. In the 2 years, and I'll give you these last couple of minutes, what has surprised you about the job?
Wow, that's a good one. I would say what has surprised me would be the responsibility.
What do you mean by that?
The awesome responsibility of knowing that people are relying on you for the public safety for the entire city. The buck stops here. If something doesn't go right in the city of Alexandria, it doesn't stop at the city manager, doesn't stop at council. It's the police chief, you know, because it's I took an oath. Our men and women are there to protect and serve. And that's what our mission statement says. And so we are there to do that. And there's just so much that happens. And there's always things that are coming about that we sometimes don't think about, you know, because what happens is when something happens in the city, if something happens in the county, if something happens anywhere, and if people don't know who to call, they always call the police. Mm-hmm. And they expect us to respond and to bring calm out of chaos. And so that's what has really surprised me is the amount of responsibility that is given to this office. And it's a heavy weight.
Yeah, I would imagine. Have you learned anything about yourself?
Yes, that I need vacations.
Don't we all? Yes. I would imagine that is indeed the case. But and again, I really appreciate you coming in on your vacation.
Not a problem.
I don't know of a lot of people who would do that. I hope I didn't interrupt any fly fishing or anything like that. I do want to thank you again, Alexandria Police Chief Don Hayes, for coming in. Good luck to you. I'll let you go back on your vacation, and be safe.
Thanks, Harold.
Thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, July 6th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.